thank Rav Yaniv for inviting me. It's a privilege for me to be here. In this week's parsha, it's a double parsha, Archei Mo Kedoshim. So in parsha Kedoshim, we have the mitzvah V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, right? To love your neighbor like yourself. Right? How do you do that? Like yourself? Like care about someone else? How does a human being get there? Get to that madrega? Get to that level? Right? So now, Rashi on that pasuk brings a chazal that I'm sure many have heard. It's a saying of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ze klal gadol b'Torah, which literally translates, this is a great inclusive principle in the Torah. Which sounds really nice, great inclusive principle, right? Klal gadol b'Torah. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Right? It's like a big mitzvah. Say, ze mitzvah gdola. There's a big mitzvah. Ze klal gadol b'Torah, great inclusive principle in the Torah. Well, we got to unpack that. Every word of Chazal is Koresh. The Gemara, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Shekol divrehem gachale esh. Every word of Chazal, of our sages, is like a coal of fire. So Ramchal explains in his Sefer, Derech Eitz Chaim, why like a coal? What do you mean? Their words are like coals, right? Because a coal, seemingly, it's dark, right? Maybe it glows a little bit, but if you blow on it, right, it flares up. And a lot of colors come out. So every word of Chazal, blow on it a little bit, meaning, the breath represents the neshama. Activate your neshama, blow on it, and you'll see tremendous colors and tremendous depth. So, our language, as opposed to what they say, for reasons that they say it, they call language descriptive. Lashon HaKodesh, and words of Chazal, is not descriptive, it's definitive. Right, you just have to blow on the coal a little bit to unlock all the colors to come out. So what does this mean? Ze klal gadol b'Torah. Okay, so now speaking of Rabbi Akiva, we're in the days of the Omer, and we know that we didn't have the darbuka. Is that what it's called? Right. We didn't have the darbuka tonight because that's in 2 weeks, right? We're in mourning because of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, his students, 24,000. Died during this time. Al-Shalonagu kavod zelazeh. They did not treat each other with the proper respect. Now, of course, these are holy people. So, of course, they weren't rude to each other. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very exacting. He keeps on raising the bar on you. If you're a bigger person, you're held to a higher standard. You're accountable, as opposed to politicians, right? Accountable, right? And so the higher you are, the more accountable you are. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, took them to task for not showing enough respect to each other, even though I'm sure they're very kind to each other. And perhaps Rabbi Akiva coined this phrase that Rashi brings after he lost 24,000 Talmidim and had to start over again. So he warned us. V'atrecha kamocha zeklal gadol b'Torah. It's a great inclusive principle, right? But here is my question, okay? The time frame that we're talking about is after the destruction of the Second Temple, right? And we know, why was the Second Temple destroyed? Ah, oh, come on, they didn't right, God, sinat chinam, baseless hatred, So now, of course, they were bigger than baseless hatred, but if it's like a little tinge of it that, that people of their level should not have even that little tinge, why do you take them to task for this in the days of the Omer when we're preparing for Matan Torah, right? They lived after Churban HaBayit. They already had the 3 weeks that we talk about, right? Now, close the account with them during the 3 weeks, right? Why is this time of the Omer, this time we were preparing for Matan Torah, the time to close, to close the accounts with them, to hold them accountable for not lo nagu kavod zazen, not showing each other enough respect, right? So now, before we unpack that, so let's ask the fine question. I'm sure everyone's heard the Chazal. Rashi brings in Chumash, I believe in Parshat Toldot, right? That our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they kept the whole Torah even before it was given. Chukotai, Mishpatai, V'torotai, kept everything, even Eruv Tavshilin, even rabbinic mitzvot. How they figure it out is another question, right? We're not going to go there right now. But the Avot, our forefathers, they figured out all the mitzvot, and they kept them even before God commanded them, right? So now, what's greater, to be commanded in the mitzvah, or you're exempt from the mitzvah, but you do it voluntarily. Which is greater? What's the higher level? What? Commanded. All right, God, right, and we're not going to explain that right now, why this is, but everyone knows the truth of it, you know, and at another occasion we'll explain why this is, right? But it's greater to be commanded than to do the mitzvah voluntarily, but you're in essence exempt. The guy who's commanded is on the higher level, right? I'll just give you a hint. Because he has the power of the Torah behind him, because the Torah told him to do it. So he's got the power of the Torah with him. The Ramchal says that, right? But so here's my question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants to do good. And the others, right, our forefathers, they really want to do the mitzvot. Give the Torah to the Avot. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu withhold? He's killed. Monea tov mi balav. God will withhold goodness for another, you know, four or five generations until he gives the Torah. You know, the Avot would have loved to have the Torah. Give the Torah to the Avot. They would have been done a great job at keeping it, right? So what's the answer to that? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not give the Torah to the Avot, who really wanted it very badly? So here is a very important principle that you know, is written in the Svarim HaKadoshim, but I'm going to explain it the way it was explained to me in detail by my Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Rosh Yeshiva Neir Yisrael, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. So listen, Torah is too big for an individual, right? Because for the most fundamental reason, Torah is a Brit Olam. It's an eternal covenant. It's a Brit Olam. It's forever. It's a forever commitment. You can't make a forever commitment with an individual who's here today and gone tomorrow. Brit Olam, you can only, internal covenant, you can only make with an Am, with a nation. Because once you reach nationhood, you're not just dealing with all those millions of people that you have in that generation. Nation means it includes all the generations that are before and all the generations that come after. They're all part of Knesset Yisrael, they're all part of Am Yisrael, all the generations. So a nation, which is a eternal entity, right? Because it's constantly replenishing itself. So it stretches infinitely in the past from wherever it started from, and it extends infinitely in the future. So as long as more Jews are being born. So that is a big enough vessel to hold God's eternal Torah. That's a big enough partner to be the other side of a partnership that's called a eternal partnership. The Avot, as great as they were just individuals. The Torah is too big for the individual. Right? It's for an Am, it's for a nation. Right? And that's for the eternality of the Torah. That's also for the depth of the Torah. Right, because the Torah has, we said before, it's every word is like a coal. There's new colors that come out. The more you toil over it, the more you rake up the coals, like you're doing here tonight. You got to rake it up, right? And you bring out all the lights, all the sparks, right? One generation alone can't bring out all the different sparks. You need all the generations combined. Everyone brings out another color, another spark of the Torah. Only an Am, a nation, is a big enough vessel to hold the Torah. Only an Am could be the partner of a Brit Olam, an eternal covenant. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wait till Am Yisrael became an Am, right? Because only an Am is a big enough vessel to hold his eternal Torah. Right? So it's an amazing thing. The Maharal points out that everyone in the, we're saying Pirkei Avot now, in the Shabbos afternoon, and we have the sixth Perek of Avot, Perek Kinyan Torah, which works out, we always read right before Shavuot, and there's a lot in that perek all about how to acquire Torah. And amongst there's the famous Mishnah of the Memchet Dvarim Shatorah Niknet Bahem, the 48, things, character traits that you need in order to acquire Torah. So one of them is Nose Ba'ol Im Chaveiro, right? You have to carry your friend's burden. His burden you have to view as your burden also. Maze Kashur, right? What does that have to do with anything? There's other stuff here that Shmias Ozen, being a good student, listening well, and but people tell me there's all types of attributes that have to do with being a good student, right? Viewing your friend's burden is like my burden. That's necessary for Kinyan Torah, right? So the Maharal, who I'm probably descended from, right? The Maharal Miprag says on that Mishnah that, because again, it's the same principle. Torah is the legacy of a nation. right? It's not the legacy of an individual. An individual is not big, is not a big enough vessel to hold it. You got to be on board for nationhood. Nationhood means we're all responsible for each other. Your problem is my problem, because the Torah, we have to become a nation in order to be big enough to receive the Torah, right? But so we needed these 600,000 main souls to attain nationhood, and once we attain nationhood, you know, it's a portal in time that the generations going all the way back to the Avot are connected to it, and it's a portal forward in time. All the future generations are a part of it also. Once you reach nationhood, it's like corporate entity that stretches across time. All generations are a part of it, right? But the nationhood, you know, is not just about having all the pieces in place, right? That's having all the pieces in place, right? But what's the glue that holds the pieces together? You know, you ever do one of them puzzles, you know, like a 1,000-piece puzzle, right? And your kid breaks it? No, you don't let that happen, right? What do you do? And you don't want to do this again. After you do it once, you swear you're never doing it again. Like, so what do? You pour glue over it, right? Right? You pour glue over it, right? So then you frame it, right? All right? You're not doing this again, right? You don't pour the glue until every piece is in place. You pour the glue before every piece is in place. That would be very bad. It would be a big mistake. Right, but it's finalized by the pouring of the glue. Right, our glue that holds us together is the Torah itself. We needed to reach 600,000 to have all the pieces in place. The glue that finalized, that makes all those pieces unite into one unified nation, is the Torah itself. And that's what it says as we're standing in front of Har Sinai. Vayichan sham Yisrael keneged har. Israel was camped there against the nation, against the mountain. So the Mefarshim, you know, Chazal point out, it's all Blashon Yachid, right? It's all singular form, as if it's one person facing Har Sinai. So what does Rashi say there? Ki ish echad belev echad. One person, one heart. We were united. But we were united because why? We're facing the Torah. The Torah is the glue that finishes the unity. So you have to have all the pieces in place. We need Shishim Ribo, 600,000, and then the Torah is the glue, and that's what all the Sforim bring in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon, right? En Amenu Uma El B'Torato. What makes us a nation is our Torah. Now, it's not the fact that we have land, we have something separate, right? And that's what keeps Am Yisrael. We have an amazing unity, right? That aside the fact that we do chasadim, we do kindness for each other, we're willing to die for each other. But that is despite the fact that most of our history, we were in exile. Most of our history, we were scattered. Ashkenazim, where they were. Sephardim, where they were. Taimanim, where they were. And we're still all Am Echad. Generally, you know, a nation is one nation because we're on the same slab of earth for a while. And if one guy immigrates, goes to a different country, he loses his nationhood. Right? Can't help it. It's something that's mind-blowing. What was the name of the general that kicked Germany's butt and ended the Holocaust? Patton? No. He was second in command. Eisenhower. That sounds like a Nazi name to me, right? No, that's, you know, because by them, their nation is based on the fact that they all live in the same place at the same time. So if you immigrate to America, you're not German anymore. And it didn't bother him to go back there and kill lots and lots of Nazis. The only problem is he didn't kill enough, right? But Am Yisrael is not that way. En Amenu Umal B'Torato. What makes us a nation is that our Torah that we share. And that's why, even though, you know, we were most of our history divided, not living in the same place at the same time, we're still one nation. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. You know, it was about 100 years ago or so, there was the famous Bayless trial in Russia. A guy, Mendel Bayless, was on trial. They framed him. Right, and they really did. The Russian government wanted to turn into like putting the Jewish people on trial and putting the Talmud on trial, and like, you know, so they, you know, the prosecutor brought up all type of anti-goy things that it says in the Talmud, and one of them is the famous saying, "Atem kruim Adam, veina akum kruim." You're called Adam. The nation of Israel is not called Adam. Right? They see, they consider us Gentiles, subhuman. So Rav Meir Shapira of Lublin, the one who started the Daf Yomi program, he wrote, he lived in Poland, he wasn't even Russian. He wrote in, you know, everyone, rabbis from around were writing in answers, you know, to reply to the charges of, you know, being, you know, anti-Gentile. Right? And he said, you have to read this analytically. Atem Korb, you're called Adam, singular. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. Ve'ena Akkor Korb, not called Adam. Because by the Goyim, everyone is on to his own. We're like Adam, like one person. Like it says, Marto, ki ish echad b'lev echad. And what's the proof? I never met Mendel Bayless. And I'm not a Russian citizen. I'm sitting in Poland, and I'm willing to put my life on the line and write this letter to the Russian government for a Jew I never met, personally. Because what makes us like this type of unity, like one person, is with the power of the Torah that only could settle on us and finish the nationhood. All right. We also have the prohibition of not taking revenge in this week's parsha. There's a Yerushalmi that says, you know, the absurdity of revenge. How so? Says the Yerushalmi. We're Jewish. We don't really do handiwork ourselves, right? But let's say we did. Right, with one hand, I'm told this is how it goes. Right, with one hand you hold the nail, and with the other hand you hold the hammer. Right, you slip, and the right hand with the hammer hits the left hand. And says the left hand now going to take the hammer and hit the right hand back. Right, says Yerushalmi, we're like one person. So of course the comma doesn't make sense. Will the left hand take revenge from the right hand? Right. And it's the Torah that finished that up for us. And that with the power of the Torah, we're like one person you could be, literally. V'atrecha kamocha. So it comes out that this is the message that Rabbi Akiva is telling us. It's telling us a two-sided message. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. There's a great inclusive principle, meaning we need to unite. We need v'atrecha kamocha to be a nation, to be worthy. Klal gadol b'Torah. We have to get together and be klal Yisrael, in order to merit the Torah. Otherwise, you're not going to get the Torah. But it also works the other way. Klal gadol b'Torah. We're one klal. We could literally become inclusive and be a nation that we're united like one person b'Torah with the power of the Torah. With the power of the Torah, we can make the klal gadol and we can feel like we're one. And this is what we have to work on in days of Omer. Thank you very much.